Welcome to the CryptoZoo. I'm your CryptoZooKeeper Jay, and today we will be talking about the Van Meter Visitor.
You heard about cryptids, but what do you know? Hear a little more on this here show. What are cryptids and what do they do? Learn about cryptids at the CryptoZoo.
Van Meter is a tiny little town smack dab in the middle of Iowa, located west of Des Moines and south of Interstate 80. It was founded in 1869 by a group of Dutch settlers and incorporated as a city in 1877. Its total land area is about 1.25 square miles, and its population hovers around 1,500 people. It's just the kind of place that one would expect to have its own cryptid, and sure enough, it does. It is the home of the Van Meter Visitor. The Van Meter Visitor is reported to be about 8 feet tall and is a cross between a bird and a human, or a bird with human features. Either way, its mouth ends in a beak. Its wings are gigantic and smooth like those of a bat, and it moves quickly, whether it's flying through the air or hopping around on the ground. It also leaves a powerful stench wherever it goes, kind of like a stinky gargoyle. Oh, and it has a horn on its forehead that glows like a searchlight, shooting out a blinding light. So, you've got a giant flying birdman bat that shoots beams of light from its forehead. Is anyone else picturing Zoc from the Herculoids? There's not much mythology behind the Van Meter Visitor besides the rash of sightings that we'll discuss in a few. But the town of Van Meter does have a small reputation for strange goings-on. Ghosts are said to haunt the local high school and the town bar, and some even claim there's a sea serpent in the Raccoon River that flows through the town. But that cryptid will have to wait for his own episode, if he turns up. We're here for the Van Meter Visitor. For now, all we have on the history is the story of the sightings, which all happened in the course of less than a week in the early 20th century. The Van Meter Visitor made its appearance during the fall of 1903. On September 29th of that year, at about 1 a.m., a farming tools supplier named Ulysses G. Griffin was on his way home from a long day of work when he saw a bright light atop one of the town's buildings. As he watched, the light jumped from the top of that building to the top of another one across the street. Before Griffin could process what had happened, the light blinked out. The next night, September 30th, also at 1 a.m., the town's doctor, A.C. Alcott, was awoken from slumber by a bright light shining through the window of his office where he was crashing in a back room. Thinking it was a criminal of some sort, Dr. Alcott ventured outside with his gun. It was not a criminal. What was waiting for him out there was the Van Meter Visitor. Terrified, he opened fire and blasted 5 shots at the beast. He either missed or the thing was bulletproof, because his shots had no effect. Knowing he was beaten, he ran back inside and locked the door. The next night, October 1st, a banker named Clarence Dunn, who would end up being elected mayor of Van Meter sometime later, had heard about the strange creature and was standing guard at his bank with a shotgun, just in case the beast with a light on its head was in fact some kind of burglar. Once again, at about 1 a.m., he heard noises outside the bank and, again, a bright light shone through the window. Dunn could make out a large figure behind the light, but having no idea what it could be beyond that, he fired a shot through the window at it. Whatever it was retreated. When he went outside to investigate, all he found was broken glass and a bunch of 3-toed tracks in the mud. He took a plaster cast of one of the tracks as proof of the encounter. On October 2nd, a furniture store owner named O.V. White was sleeping above his shop when a loud scraping sound woke him up at, yep, you guessed it, 1 a.m. By now, word of the strange beast had gotten around town, so White grabbed his gun and checked outside, where he saw the visitor perched atop a telephone pole across the street. He shot at it, but like Dr. Alcott, he either missed or the creature was tougher than bullets because the beast was unharmed. It turned to look at White, shining its beam on him, and that's when White noticed the horrible smell. This was also when he blacked out. White's neighbor, a man named Sidney Gregg, was also sleeping above his store, as the town thought it was in the midst of a crime wave. He came outside to investigate the gunshot and witnessed the creature shimmying down the pole, using its beaked mouth and legs to lower itself like a parrot. On the ground, it hopped on its back legs and crawled on all fours in the direction of White until a passing train scared it into flight. Now, if this was just the town drunk reporting this, it would be different. But the fact that doctors and bankers and business owners were making these claims made them more legitimate. Workers at a local tile and brick factory on the northwest edge of town noticed noises coming from an abandoned coal mine that was on the property. And on October 3rd, a factory supervisor named J.L. Platt staked out the cavern. What he saw made his blood run cold. Yet again, just before 1 a.m., he saw a light come from the mine. Then a creature emerged, and it wasn't alone. A smaller version of the visitor followed, also shining a light from its forehead horn, and both flew off into the night. By now, the town was in an uproar, and Platt took advantage of the panic to form a posse. He and a small militia of armed townfolk set up outside the mine and waited for the beasts to return. When they did, right before sunrise, the posse met them with a volley of gunfire. The creatures squawked and screeched and released more of their foul stench before flying into the mine. And that was the last anyone ever saw of the Van Meter visitor. So, what are the possible explanations for the Van Meter visitor? The first is that it's some kind of misidentified other animal, although the combination of wings, kangaroo-like hopping, and the light-up horn don't really suggest anything. It could also be a surviving pterodactyl or pterosaur, but again, that doesn't explain the horn and the beams of light. A more fantastical explanation is that it's a dragon, or even a gargoyle, but neither of these are proven to actually exist, so this would be a first. It also could be an extraterrestrial. This would explain its seemingly curious nature and the fact that it and its friend disappeared after being met with heavy artillery. Intelligent aliens can take the hint that they are not wanted. A more scientific theory is that the story is the result of eyewitness memory errors, sort of a mass hysteria. Once the story was initially told, each witness added to it and embellished it until we are left with the sensational take we have today. And others believe it is all just a hoax. Although it would seem that some prankster dressing up as a monster is unlikely, since they would probably have been killed by the barrage of gunfire and would have had trouble rigging up the lights for the horns in 1903, there are some who believe that the witnesses were in it for the publicity. The then postmaster of Van Meter, H.H. Phillips, wrote an article for the Des Moines Daily News about the adventure, and it was syndicated to national papers. This widespread publicity was met by other articles and letters debunking the events and even flat-out calling Phillips a liar. So not everyone is a believer. Which brings us back to the unknown animal angle. Was the Van Meter visitor an undiscovered species? A cryptid? We may never know now. In 2013, Chad Lewis, Noah Voss, and Kevin Nelson wrote a book called, appropriately, The Van Meter Visitor, which chronicled the events of those horrific few days in 1903, and even coined the creature's name. How this has not been optioned into a movie by now is beyond me. Real or not, it's a great story. As for Van Meter, well, like any town with a cryptid, they love theirs. John Youngman, the farmer who now owns the land where the covered-up coal mine is, and his son dismiss the legend as a campfire tale, but they do love the attention. And the Youngmans are not alone. The town loves the attention, too, holding a Van Meter Visitor Festival every year since 2013 in the fall. For a town the size of Van Meter, this is just what it needs to be put on the cryptozoology tourism map. And that's about it for this episode of the Cryptozoo. If you enjoyed what you heard, please like, follow, subscribe, share, rate, review, and all that other stuff. You can find us on Facebook, so drop in and say hi. We're also at thecryptozoo.com. That's thecrypto-zoo.com. So hop in over there, too. And until next time, good night, sleep tight, and don't stop believing.
We love cryptids, big and small.